Good morning, members. I will call the Civil and Data Practices Policy Committee to order. The first order of business would be to approve the minutes of March 16th. Representative Vogel, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
I have moved to
approve
them, Madam Chair.
The minutes have been moved. Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Members, thank you for being here this morning. I know we said we'd had our last committee, and then, as we all know, towards the end of deadline week, things pop up. So I appreciate your indulgence this morning. I tried to make amends by bringing some donuts this morning, so please have some this morning. We have a new Dunkin' Donuts in Andover, so that is right on my way here. So it was really convenient to stop and grab some donuts. Members, just the plan today is I'm just going to the bill that is before us is a delete-all. We're going to have a couple of members present their sections of the bill. We're going to address just the sections that apply to our committee. The plan is to move this on to the general register, and then knowing that it's going to have to be grabbed from there by the rules committee and receive a waiver if it's going to be moving on. So with that, I don't see Representative Anderson in the audience yet, so why don't we have Representative Loon come forward. And I will move House File 990 and recommend that it be re-referred to the general register. And I believe in your packets, in your folder, there is an amendment. And I will move the A1 amendment. Is there discussion on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the A1, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The A1 is amended on to the bill. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Didn't you want to move the DE first?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Let's back up and reconsider things here. Any discussion on the DE1? So I will move the DE1, see no discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The DE1 is before us. Now I ask that we reconsider the A1 to the D1. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Both amendments are adopted. Representative Loon, to your section of the bill.
All right.
And would you like to have House Research direct members to the sections that you'll be addressing?
Yes, please, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll have Mr. Hopkins do that.
Madam Chair and members, this is in Article 2 of the DE amendment, the Director of Early Education and Development section. The relevant sections dealing with data classification in this article are Sections 1 and 2, and then Subdivisions 5 and 6 of Section 3.
All right. Thank you. Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So I'm going to give you just a little background information on what this proposal is and then talk about the data provisions in them. So I have proposed a bill which is intended to be part of our education omnibus bill that would create a director of early education and development within the Department of Administration. It's not an altogether new position. It would take a position that is in existence right now, the head of the Children's Cabinet, and make that person a director, again, to really provide coordination and effective operations of the many streams of funding that we have for early childhood education and development, with a goal being to maximize the quality, access, accountability, and cost-effectiveness of these programs. We have multiple early care and education funding streams, and so it's important to know that with these multiple funding streams, which all have different governing statutes, requirements, levels of accountability, that it's difficult to really know how all of these investments are working. And so in order to do this and have this director position be effective, the director would need access to existing data collected by MDE and in DHS and these data collections are already going on, but we would like the director to have access to that, to be able to manage the collected data, and to be able to evaluate the system and these various funding streams that we have. And so we need to develop a data sharing agreement and memoranda of understanding with the commissioners of administration, which this director would be under, education, health, and human services. The portions of the bill that you're looking at is very specific about what data sets the director would have access to. And these data sets come from publicly funded programs to 3- and 4-year-olds. And those include school readiness, voluntary pre-K, early learning scholarships, Head Start, CCAP, and with the amendment that you added, kindergarten readiness assessment. Just, I think it's important to note that parental consent is required for this data to be shared. The bill would direct creation of a consent form that must specify what data is being shared, what government entities would have access to the shared data, and the purpose for the data sharing. And again, if a parent does not sign the consent form, the data would not be shared. Parent or guardian can withdraw consent in writing at any time. And then the bill would go on to require the director to make an annual report to the legislature starting in 2020 about what this data tells us. Again, having a clearly defined director that was charged with assessing these various programs and the outcome as provided in the data will help us all better understand how early childhood education funds are spent, if they are working and we are getting out the outcomes we would expect, and how we can, again, make better decisions down the road about the important investments of these taxpayer dollars.
Thank you, Representative Loon. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on the data portions of this section of the bill? If not, we'll go to member questions. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the bill author. So if children or their parents don't participate, will that report have to indicate to us how many of those parents opted out so that we can assess the value of the assessment that was done? Because if you're 60% of the parents who opt out of sharing that data, that says something about the report that you're reading versus if 90% permitted the data.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would defer to nonpartisan staff. I don't believe that the language in the bill specifies that report would include that information. However, I do think that would probably be a research point that would be included in the report that the director would provide to the legislature.
Mr. Hopkins.
Madam Chair and members, I think that's accurate. The bill doesn't specify. It does seem like it would be a useful thing to know in developing the consent form. That could be something that the director, in coordination with the commissioners, could specifically note on the consent form or make the consent form transmit that data, how many people are opting out. That would be an option as they're making the consent form itself.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just would encourage you to incorporate that in there somewhere because, again, if you only have 10% of the parents who opt in to be a part of the study, that's a very different number than 90 or 95%.
Thank you. Other member questions? Seeing none, Representative Loon? We'll give you. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative O'Neill.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, just very, very quickly. Is there an audit trail that's created? You can see who accesses it and what they're accessing. I'm just trying to read through quickly, but.
Representative Loon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I would defer to nonpartisan staff. I don't believe so, but.
Mr. Hopkins.
Madam Chair and members, that's correct. There's no audit trail requirement in the bill.
Representative O'Neill.
And Madam Chair, I know that you've worked on this quite a bit. Is that something that you had thought about and passed over, or is there a reason?
I think I emailed that request, and then when we had the discussion, I think I forgot to include that. So that's something going forward that we would want to do, too. I don't know how many people will be employed through this new position. If it's just going to be a 1- or 2-person shop, then probably both of those people would have access. But it should be role-based, and certainly there should be an audit trail if there's, more than a couple of people that are working there. Thank you. Representative Bloom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, and currently as envisioned and what we're appropriating for in the omnibus bill is just the director's position and an administrative position to support the director, so it would be a small office.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other member questions? Seeing none, thank you, Representative Loon, and we're kind of waiting for Representative Anderson to get here, so okay. We'll stand in recess until she arrives. Unless you had some, I'll let you have some closing remarks on your section if you want.
Well, just to thank the members, this is a sort of a concept and that we've been working on for several months here in the legislative process, and I think we're honing in on really having a good process for knowing more about who we're serving across various programs and funding streams in the early childhood arena and what outcomes we're getting. And this being able to have one person, a director, collect or have access to this data so that we can really know what's happening will be very useful to the legislature as we look to make investments in this area in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Loon. We'll stand in recess until Representative Anderson walks through the door.
Thank you. So
enjoy your donut now or something.
I feel like someone should put
the same code. Who's benefiting and where the stability needs to maybe throwing more resources and getting minimal payback?
It's first come, first serve. We're all part of the
chair. Yeah, I mean, for all of the reasons, it's excellent.
So the ones with the lower backs are the winners, and the ones with the higher backs are the losers.
Are you really complaining?
You've got a bill.
I want all the Senate chairs. They're so comfortable. Have you the Senate often? They all have them in their offices. The Senate chairs. They're so comfortable, and all the staff has all the nice chairs.
You need like a booster seat.
No, I've got a booster
seat.
We get printing that out.
You get
that.
I can do it on the floor.
On the
floor. And that is the way that we
get our
signature.
I've got one.
This is my car.
But it's waiting to come to the floor.
Very, very.
So if it's sitting there, they're actually absolutely. But you got to coordinate with leadership because they have calendar it.
181,
but
I think.
Well, you could.
Yeah, so this is 181. Yeah.
I don't
know if they're there yet.
Well, I think they're fine. It isn't one chair.
I just wanted to spare you the disappointment. You're welcome.
They're all low.
9:30 to 10:30. 1:00. Yeah. Because then they're going to be an Uber all day. So it's like they're paired in Uber puppies. So like you can request an Uber for $30 and they'll bring you a puppy to play with.
Yeah. I mean, there's like an 8 and stuff with them. There's not just like a second.
Over there, too, that one's 5 inches lower.
So can I order a Kufu ride with a puppy?
Yeah, you're not living large. Not
yeah, but that's only from 11 to 2 today.
You have to pay $30 just for that. Like they can come and sit in your office for like 30 minutes.
Someone who's a cross dog and a dog for a long term sounds
fascinating. True. And you're helping the secondhand house, which is the organization.
Tomorrow I'll get together with two friends.
You know what's when you brought that up, I think you
want to be part of the crowd.
So if there were seven balloons, you know, we have to make sure that the guests need to be able to do it. Yours is what you're asking. Yeah, so I drive 78 miles an hour over
town.
Yeah. I usually just.
I thought about that too, but I know that's
right. I'm usually.
So just like this, I don't know.
I could thought, I tell you what. I've been bothered, and I've been bothered at 70. I remember being in a few class at 62.
You and who?
They put it in.
Portillo's, it's like, well, I have hot dogs, they have everything, and it's really big in Chicago. It's amazing. It's kind of like a facetta, it's like the way it's set up. It's...
And you know what?
Yeah. I love my family. Yeah, it's so good. And then they have cake shakes, so they put like a natural piece of cake in a blender. It's so good.
It was special for me.
I'm so excited. I love Portillo's.
I will call the Civil Law Data Practices Committee back to order. Our star witness has arrived. I will have House staff, nonpartisan staff, address the parts of the article that relates to the bill before us, the section of the bill before us, Representative Anderson's section. Mr. Hopkins.
Madam Chair and members, Article 1 deals with a e-filing system for individual income tax returns that the Commissioner of Revenue will host on the Department of Revenue's website. If you look at Section 1 of the bill, Paragraph B, states that the system must automatically populate the returns with taxpayer data available to the Commissioner, including but not limited to wage data received from one or more employers. So those are some of the data-specific provisions of this article.
Thank you. Representative Anderson, if you want to address Article 1, your section of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will limit my comments just to Paragraph B, because that's the paragraph that is dealing with the data piece. So what we are doing with this is we're asking that the Department of Revenue use the data that they already have available to them to help people file a return, and that they assist in doing this and make the process of filing for taxes much easier. There is a large number of people that actually don't file their taxes for many reasons. A lot of people get scared with the whole process of filing your taxes. I think everybody, you know, watches those movies where you screw up and the IRS comes in and audits you. And so I think a lot of people have fear that they would violate something. And unfortunately, sometimes that freezes people and they don't file. So this is to try and make a government process easier for consumers to use. And I'll just leave it at that and stand for any questions.
Sounds good. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify for or against this section of the bill? Seeing none, we will open it up to member questions. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is partially to this piece, but I know it's part in the other bill. So it's my understanding that you're still working with some folks, that there might be some concern about folks that already get taxes filed for free with other entities. And so I assume that you're continuing to work with those stakeholders through this process.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hillstrom, as always, yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none. Seeing none, I will renew my motion that House File 990, as amended, be sent to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. We are on our way. Thank you, members. Enjoy the morning. Remember, at 9:30, there will be puppies in room 181. But Representative Hillstrom is not allowed to go.